The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Yes, welcome to the Savage Nation. I drove in on the Autobahn wearing my lederhosen. I think Hillary is kaput. No? Does she need bratwurst? Welcome to the Savage Nation. It would be funny if it wasn't funny. How could Hillary Clinton refer to the president of Russia as Hitler at a time like this? That's the question for you for the first 15 minutes of the Savage Nation. Do you think Hillary has increased her machismo and therefore improved her chances of becoming the next so-called president of the so-called United States? Or do you think she is kaput? Because personally, I think she just made the greatest mistake of her life, personally, between me and you. At a time like this, when the world is a tinderbox, Obama the nobody gives a speech to raise the minimum wage in front of a bunch of high school stooges. And Hillary gives a speech comparing Putin to Hitler. This is the leadership that we have. This is the best America can do. So again, I raise the question, and I think it's a fair question. If you want to put on your mental lederhosen, is Hillary Clinton kaput? Or did Hillary Clinton actually show herself to have more you-know-what than the president himself does? You know, that's what she was trying to do here. But irrespective of what Hillary has done, and whether it's good or not for her, is this good for world peace? To call your opponent Hitler at a time like this? It shows very poor judgment. Extremely poor judgment. Incidentally, here's a strange one. Russian President Vladimir Putin has been nominated for the 2014 Nobel Peace Prize. There's a record 278 candidates. I am not amongst them, including 47 organizations received nominations for the prize, according to the Dynamite Institute's director. You know, I laugh at the Nobel Peace Prize. I call it the Dynamite Prize. Isn't it ironic that all of this money was built upon murder, death, destruction, and blowing things up? The Nobel Peace Prize, right? Why not? Alfred Nobelman invented dynamite. And look what we have as a result. And they gave Obama a Nobel Prize when he sneezed. He sneezed. He got a Nobel Prize for that. Anyway, my first question is 855-407. Play the Lederhosen music again on the Savage Nation. I could use a beer right now. I could use a Beck's, to be honest with you. It's been a long day's journey into night on the Savage Nation. I'm here for you. I am here for you. Are you here for me? We've had a little staff turmoil here at the Savage Nation. Oh, I don't even want to go into it. We have a new call screener every hour here on the Savage Nation. Yeah, we had Kaput on the call screener yesterday during the show. Kaput. Kaput. We would have given him the firing squad if it was another country in another time. So as a result, we have a new call screener. Eric Santos, welcome back to the program. Nice to see your smiling face. And I, instead of being at one of my remote hidden studios with the dog Teddy, I am actually in the bowels of the Cumulus building here down in San Francisco. The city's booming. You know, it's very good to get out of your pajamas in your house every once in a while. I got to tell you, PJ Radio has its limits. Now, you can't believe what's going on in South San Francisco right now, down in this area. Everywhere you turn, there are cranes building buildings. There's a building boom. There's one on the corner driving into the garage. You got to go around trucks and concrete and cranes. You know what this would have done to John Gotti had he only lived a few more years to see all this concrete? I mean, you know what? This would have brought a smile to John Gotti's lips. May he enjoy Hades. But the thing is, all this concrete, all of these concrete trucks, I haven't seen anything like this since New York in the 1960s. Building boom in San Francisco. John Kerry is about to speak about talks with Russia. I'm not going to listen. Play the Lederhosen music for me again. I'd rather hear some German music than hear it. Everyone sing along. Follow the bouncing cuckoo clock. Neil, you're supposed to get me a cuckoo clock soundbite. Cuckoo, cuckoo. All right, let's take a few calls in the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282, I think. Is that my number, Neil? Where is... Oh, there it is on the glass wall. It is 11 minutes after the hour. I've met some new friends, some old friends. The world's about to go up in flames, and Obama's there giving a fundraiser speech on a minimum wage. Is this guy wackadoodle? KSFO, Carlton, thanks for calling. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I was just thinking about how Putin was like Hitler this morning. So I'm glad Hillary said it, and I would like to explain to you why that is.
All right, you're going to give me the story about the Sudetenland. I know history. I know Czechoslovakia. I know Poland. Next case.
Sudetenland.
I know the whole story, so what's your point? Excuse me, sir. Is that the only comparability between Hitler and Putin? That's it?
No, wait a second. They've been doing this for 15 years.
Well, if Putin is like Hitler, what does that make Obama?
I agree with you.
Well, I didn't say what he is. What do you agree with what?
Talk about...
No. If Putin is like Hitler, according to Hillary Clinton, what does that make Obama?
I don't know.
All right, so let's put it another way. I know that it's very hard for you to understand the bigger picture, and it's easy to demonize Putin. That's very easy. That's an easy one. That's a childish way to look at things. But let me ask you something. What if Mexico came into America and took over Texas, and they said it's old Mexican land? We're taking Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. We're taking that territory. And then what if Putin said, how dare you do that to President Obama? Would you call him Hitler?
Michael, why do you want to talk about Obama all the time?
Well, you see, you can't answer the question because you came in here with a predetermined statement, but you're not making sense.
You asked a question.
Look, sir, don't go away, man. Just go away. My father had a sign in his store. He never got angry at customers, but he had a little sign in that little store. It said, don't go away, man. Just go away. I mean, I'd like you to keep listening. Every one of my millions of listeners counts. Don't think I'm arrogant about it. Did you hear yesterday's show? Did you hear the show before yesterday? Did you hear my show on Friday? You know this is about oil. It's about energy. You know this is about energy as much as it is about territory. But at the end of the day, it is about territory because it's the energy under the ground that we're talking about. So let me explain it succinctly. For those of you who have your hats not on backwards but in three parts, those of you who wear the Revolutionary War hats and read children's books on the Founding Fathers, let me explain it to you carefully. Right now, Putin is the gas company for Europe. He's the gas company. He sends the gas. So they're shaking in their boots right now in Brussels for fear that their pawn shops will go cold at any moment. Because, hey, look, it's a cold winter in Europe. If he turns the gas off, those pawn shops go dead. The customers will stay home putting on, you know, newspapers around their feet. So he has the control. He's got a monopoly on the gas into Europe, right? So now what's going on at the same time this is going on? Naturally, Europe doesn't like the monopoly that Putin controls. They have been busy working with Chevron and other oil companies to break up the shale in Poland, in Romania, in Lithuania, in the western Ukraine, and convert the shale into LNG, liquid natural gas. Now, if they do that, they break Putin's monopoly. Do you understand that? So what do you think this is? In a way, it's a trade war. Putin wants to hold on to his monopoly because if Russia loses their dominance in supplying gas to Europe, he loses probably all of his power. He will not only lose the Soviet Empire, he will lose Russia. That's how serious this is. So for him, it's all or nothing. This is an all or nothing game for him. That's why I predict what I'm going to predict in the next segment is going to happen. For the Europeans, they're fighting for their independence, in energy independence in that regard. This has almost nothing to do with the Ukraine. I know you don't want to hear this, but it has almost nothing to do with the Ukraine. They are simply a pawn in the game between Russia and the EU, if you want to put it that way. And if you care to comment on this topic, we can do it. 855-407-282, 855-407-SAVAGE is the phone number. Again, it's a good day to you out there. Let's pray for the children. I'll say it every day until you hear me. Let's pray that John McCain is finally given the anti-Nobel Peace Prize and taken off the world stage as quickly as possible and locked up where he's safe for women and children and other living things. I fear for the poodles of Europe with John McCain running around throwing brickbats at everybody. You found it. And so we have a crisis in the Ukraine, right? And U.S. is going to support NATO, North Atlantic TART Organization. When is the last time NATO did anything militarily that I know of? Does NATO, can they fly a plane? I don't know if NATO can fly a plane. The last I saw, they bombed Serbia, and they used American pilots. They repainted our airplanes with NATO markings, the last I checked. I think that they're busy taking human rights classes in NATO rather than how to drive a tank or fly a plane. Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Belarus. Romania. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
It is the Savage Nation, 22 minutes after the hour. Hillary Clinton compares Vladimir Putin's actions in Ukraine to Adolf Hitler's in Nazi Germany. Now, before I read her actual comments, I must ask you, do you think this is appropriate at a time like this? Before you answer it, think carefully. Does this take the tension away from the table or increase the tension? Does it make it more likely that there will be a shooting war or less likely that there will be a shooting war? Did she just aid world peace, which she claims to be in favor of, or did she just aid world war, which is more likely her M.O.? Long Beach, former Secretary of Hate Hillary Clinton on Tuesday compared recent actions by Russian President Vladimir Putin in the Ukraine to those implemented by Adolf Hitler in the late 30s. Putin's desire to protect minority Russians in Ukraine is reminiscent of Hitler's actions to protect ethnic Germans outside Germany, she said. The Russian leader has recently done so in the Ukraine peninsula of Crimea, which Clinton said is similar to what happened in Nazi Germany in the late 1930s. Hitler resettled tens of thousands of ethnic Germans who were living in parts of Europe to Nazi Germany. Clinton made her comments at a private event benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs of Long Beach. You can play that now for Long Beach. Now, here's what she said. Now, stop it. You're going to make me laugh. I won't be able to do the show. Now, if this sounds familiar, it's what Hitler did back in the 30s, said Hillary. All the Germans that were, the ethnic Germans, the Germans by ancestry, who were in places like Czechoslovakia and Romania and other places, Hitler kept saying that they're not being treated right. I must go and protect my people. And that's what's gotten everybody so nervous. She said when he looks at Ukraine, he sees a place that he believes is by its very nature part of Mother Russia. Well, I don't know what Hillary was doing for the last few hundred years, but it actually was part of Mother Russia since Catherine the Great. Mike, get out of my studio. Get him out of there. We have too many visitors here. There'll be no visiting in the studio. Not while the cuckoo clock is playing. Oh, they're driving me crazy in this station. Now they're walking by with their hands up in a single-arm salute. I haven't been in a radio station in so long, I forgot what fun it can be. You know, the smell of the grease paint and the stink of the sausages. Putinism. Now, here's the craziest thing she said, because it's so obviously correct. But it shouldn't have been said. That's the point. She said, Putin is a man who believes his mission is to restore Russian greatness. Duh. And I wish I had a president who thought it was his mission to restore American greatness. I would share that. What would you give for an American president who said it's my mission to restore American greatness? I'm closing the borders. I'm reinstituting English only as an official language. And we're going to talk about our culture. I think we would love that. So she takes a man who's doing that for his people and tries to make it a negative. So, if you care to comment on this, we'll have to play the cuckoo clock, I'm sure, throughout. They're ready for war again. I know that. I know they're getting ready for war. The military-industrial complex just lost Afghanistan, and you know they're not going to be put down for any too long of time. They've had it too good for the last 40 years. I mean, K Street, which circles Washington, has been working overtime letting contracts. It's that simple. I could ask you a question, and you could tell me no lies, and the question would be, as I said at the outset of the show, do you think this is going to improve Hillary's chances to be president by acting like she's a man, a tough guy, real macho? She claimed to be a woman of peace. Remember, it was always about the children and peace? Well, now she sounds like a warmonger. She could have said an intelligent thing about Putin without provoking him. Would you say this is provocative? Yes or no? KSFO, San Francisco. Petri, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, so after all this hoopla that's going on over there in Europe right now, once that blows over, because we're just going to sit around and watch it, right? They're going to jump over to Uganda and get involved with the anti-gay laws that they got over there.
I don't know anything about that. What, are you going to send the military in for the anti-gay laws in Uganda?
Well, play the cuckoo clock. It's just as cuckoo. We're going to step in everywhere. Oh, the insanity of it all is just...
I don't know. I have no comment on that. I mean, you know, I don't even want to talk. We got a war brewing here. We got incompetent amateurs at every turn in this administration. By the way, can you name one thing Hillary did that's positive as Secretary of State? Let's see. She blew up Libya. She killed Gaddafi. She blew up Egypt. She overthrew the legitimate government. Let's see. She put Mubarak in jail. Let's see. In Syria, she was on the side of Al-Qaeda. What has she done that's right?
What difference at this point does it make?
Oh, right. In Benghazi. I forgot that little footnote. Yeah. What are her qualifications to be president of the United States other than gross incompetence? I mean, that's the only qualification I see she has. Susan, let me get my voice now. Susan on WABC. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation. Susan, what's on your mind?
Hi. I'm so happy to hear you on the radio. Thank you. Listen.
I've been on since January in this slot. Don't tell me this is the first time you heard Michael Savage.
No.
Oh, thank God.
I can't listen to you every day, though. You know,
okay,
how
you'll get a mild demerit. What's on your mind?
Oh, listen, you know how you've talked about George Soros being involved in those protest movements?
Yes, absolutely. He funded it.
Okay, and also how all of a sudden Madeleine Albright just appeared.
That's correct. Hold on, I know what you're going to say here. It's all about companies they represent, isn't it? Madeleine Albright is a war criminal in my estimation. Interpol should arrest her wherever she is and take away her brisket recipe.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It just seemed to me ridiculous in a country this size that we didn't have other families. I mean, we got great governors and other people. I just don't understand it.
That is Barbara Bush saying she doesn't know why they're picking on her son, nominating him to be president or talking about it. She's right. We don't need a dynasty in America. In fact, the last I checked, we fought King George, or our ancestors did. Maybe your ancestors did. Mine didn't. They were in the Ukraine at the time. In order to make sure there were no dynasties in America. I think 8 years of the Bushes, God bless them, was enough. 8 years of the Clintons was enough. We don't need 16 years of the Clintons, or am I mistaken? Maybe Chelsea could run after him, make it 24 years. Here's some good news for those of you out there looking for some good news. The Senate voted today to block Obama's civil rights nominee. That nasty, evil cop-hater was going to be put into the Justice Department's so-called Civil Rights Division. He was so awful. Debo P. Adebigili, who was a lawyer for the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, filed a legal brief arguing that former Black Panther cop killer Mumiu Abu-Shamal murder trial was tainted by racism. This is a major blow to Obama because, guess what? Even seven Democrats thought he was too extreme and voted with Republicans. In fact, Majority Leader Harry Hateful Reid couldn't even muster all of his own troops. Reid became furious when the Democrats crossed the aisle to vote with the Republicans and throw this bum out and keep him from polluting the Civil Rights Division. And Reid hinted that the Republicans opposed this man because they were racists. That's odd coming from Harry Reid in Nevada, isn't it? But in fact, the case of Mr. Adebigili was too much for even Democrats. And the Senate, thank God, blocked Mr. Adebigili on a 52-47 vote with eight demon cats voting along with Republicans for the filibuster. Did you hear this? Isn't this amazing that Harry Reid lost his power? And Mr. Adebigili is the first of Obama's nominees to be blocked since Reid forced the filibuster rules change in November. Did you know that? They still lost. Senator Bob Casey, Pennsylvania Democrat, a state in whose state the Abu Jamal murder case remains a hot topic, voted against him. Now, I don't know if you know who this guy was, but this lawyer, when he was with the NAACP, defended this cop killer. This cop killer shot the officer in the face as he lay on the ground dying. This cop killer, Mumia Abu Jamal, shot the cop. As the cop lay there begging for his life, he shot him in the face. Okay? Mr. Abu Shlamia. And this lawyer, who defended Abu Shlamia, was about to be snuck into the Civil Rights Division for a lifetime appointment. The bottom line is that the Senate overrode Obama's. You talk about a Nazi? You talk about a fascist element in this government? Well, the optic chiasma, when it's twisted, to me, tells us that a Nazi and a communist are the same thing turned inside out. And this guy is as bad as any fascist. This is a diehard fascist of the worst order. He doesn't even belong in America, let alone in the Civil Rights Division. Thank God for the U.S. Senate. It's that simple. There's nothing you could say about that. I've said it all. So if you're driving in on the Autobahn wearing your Lederhosen and you've had a bratwurst for lunch and you think Hillary is kaput, she said, listen to what she said in the rest of the speech where she compared Vladimir Putin to Hitler. She said this, quote, she said, so everybody's hoping that there will be a negotiation, but a negotiation that respects Ukraine and doesn't ratify a reoccupation of Russia by Crimea. Now listen to this. So it's a real nail biter right now, said Hillary, but nobody wants to up the rhetoric. Everybody wants to cool it in order to find a diplomatic solution. And that's what we should be trying to do. She said that after comparing Putin to Hitler, that the rhetoric should be cooled down. Frankly, as far as I'm concerned, she just blew her chances to be president. I really mean that. I mean, that's over. She's inflaming the situation, in my opinion. Charles, WFTL in Florida. Fort Lauderdale, I'm overdue for a visit. Charles, how's the water in Florida? How's the Atlantic Ocean?
She is. It's nice in Florida. She is a former Secretary of State, a private citizen, and she's meddling in international affairs to try and get her creds up because she's got three years to try to run for president. She could have stayed as Secretary of State. She could have been in there. She could have been involved in all this stuff. But they had a lull for 4 years.
Well, here she says that we have to calm the rhetoric down, and she compares him to Hitler. So she did the opposite of what she said should be done.
What do liberals do?
Well, let's not generically say all liberals. You know in your family there are liberals. And we'll all admit that every liberal's a troublemaker. Do you have a liberal in your family that's not a troublemaker, who doesn't try to steam up the whole family and turn them against each other?
No,
let's be clear. You're in Florida, so I can ask the question with all candor. You're in the land of the rolling bagel. You're in the land of the push cart people, where they push you out of the way in supermarkets and try to crush your fingers with those monstrous metal carts as they speed by. But at family gatherings, isn't it true that the liberals generally try to turn one against the other?
Yes.
Now, what could you say to me? No. And if you said no, I wouldn't believe you anyway, because you know it's true. Charles, let me ask you something. Why are you listening to me at this hour? Why are you not swimming?
Well, it's raining today.
I'm glad I didn't go. I was going to go down, but I checked the weather every day. And then every time I go to Florida, I ask myself, how many more days till I go back to San Francisco? I sit and count the days.
Well, you know what? I've been down here a long time. And I'm used to this weather.
That's what I hear. You get used to it after a second. It's like Devil's Island.
You get used to Devil's Island.
I know. I've heard people tell me they got used to the humidity. The only creature that I know that can deal with humidity is an amphibian.
Michael, if it wasn't for air conditioning, nobody would live down here.
Well, I know, but people are fleeing because of the taxes, but I can't do it. I mean, Jerry Brown is driving everyone out of California who makes more than $100,000 a year. Nobody can afford to live here.
You know, don't get me started on California, because you can do a good enough job.
But the thing is this. Every time I go to Florida, I stare at the ocean. I don't know why I'm there. So, you know, it's like you're looking out into eternity looking at the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, as a man once said to me, you've seen one wave, you've seen them all. I have nothing. It's the flatness of Florida that's hard to live with. It's those strip malls, one after the other. all of the witness protection pizza joints, all of the witness protection spaghetti joints, all of the witness protection savings and loans that are shuttered up. I mean, it's something to behold. You drive along Federal Highway from Boca to, let's say, Delray, there's like a 300 Italian restaurants with a total population in the summer of 200 people.
Look, I remember living in New York when John Gotti had a pizza joint on each corner in Brooklyn, and they were all just fronts for his heroin.
No, let's not go there. No, I often wonder. There's a population of 200 people in Florida between June and August who might eat Italian food, and there's 300 pizza joints, and they're open 7 days a week. How's that possible? I'm just joking. Come on, I'm just having a good time. I'm trying to forget the war.
Yeah, you know what, Michael? I the reason I listen to you is because you're unique, and I.
No, thank you. That's like saying he's touched, and I rode a little school bus. I get it.
You know what? When you're not on the air, it's really hard for me to listen to your program, because as much as they try and bring on what you are all about, it's your presentation.
Yeah, well, when God made me, he broke the mold. So, only he can't find it anymore. He doesn't know where he put it. Look, I was always, different than others, and I do my own thing in my own way, Charles, and I love my audience. I live for it. And that's the end of it. I thank you for listening. No gifts. No toupees with the Constitution inside to give out. No floor mats with the Constitution inside. No secret handshakes. Nothing. No gifts today. Nothing. I'm glad to be alive altogether. Driving in today on the Autobahn. Wow. What a drive it was to the radio station. I drove on the highway. I remember watching I'm sorry to tell you, it was Hitler's architects who created the first superhighway in Germany. The Autobahn. It was created over there. Then the guy in New York, who was that guy who built the one to Jones Beach? The southern state, the northern state, the central planners of that time in the 1930s built the Grand Central Parkway. All the parkways were designed on the Autobahn. And the Volkswagen, the people's car converted by Dr. Porsche into the Porsche. God, are we lucky we won that war. Man, they were so far ahead of us technologically. The German engineers, man, they were so far ahead of us. Thank God they got crushed. Thank God they got crushed. But look what they got. Look what they crushed Hitler to wind up with. Look what we became as a result. Take a look. Eddie died in World War II, so we could be living in the social cesspool that we're living in today, with pornography in everyone's house, children drug addicts, marriage destroyed. This is what Eddie fought for and died for on the beaches of Anzio, so America could become this dirty, filthy cesspool with an imposter in the White House. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I start to get so angry I can't control it. And then I come to the microphone and I'm in control. Okay, what would you like to say to me and everyone else on the show today? Doctor again yesterday. I had to go right after the show. I'm fine, because I had an incident last week. And I'm bad. I'm getting better, but a little relapse job Tuesday night. So I'm doing good. My voice a little off, but you can hear my spirit's good, right, Neil? I look good. My right eye doesn't work. My mouth doesn't work. My ear is closed, but I feel, no, I'm good. No, I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. The dog is here. We had bad Chinese food. I went to an appendage of the worst Chinese restaurant in the city, which I love the food. I come in just to, get toxic Chinese food sometimes. And they have a satellite right near the radio station. It was so awful. It was worse than the original grease job. I mean, the greasy spoon over on the Sansome Street is bad enough. I came to the satellite down here near the radio station. I said low oil. I didn't see any chicken in it. There was nothing in it but oil and white rice and hot sauce. It was delicious, fantastic. It was unbelievable. It's a restorative, the Hunan cuisine. But you got to be very careful when you're eating Hunan around a dog, because they're dogs. If you drop so much as a grain of rice with the Hunan sauce, they die. They can't eat that stuff. So the dog is sitting under my desk. I gave him his ugly, disgusting dry chips. On a piece of paper. He was like in prison. He got chips and water. There wasn't even any chicken for him here. So I'm eating, and all of a sudden I see a piece of white rice fall off the desk as I'm scoffing the chicken curry. And I know if that dog gets it before I do, I got a dead dog on my hands. So I grabbed it, and this and that, and we're here, and life is good, and people are wonderful, and my garage space was taken, and that was an issue. And it's 46 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to the Savage Nation, and the Senate has blocked Obama's extremist civil rights nominee who should now be deported for what he did to the cop during the trial. Yeah, right. I live in a dream world. So Obama here in the middle of the war is talking about the minimum wage. That's leadership. That's real leadership. You got to hand it to him. That's really leadership. Here's a story. Why didn't the U.S. know sooner? According to Politico, despite Russian President Putin's history as a tough-as-nails leader bent on restoring Russia's sphere of influence, the U.S. intelligence community failed to read the signs when it came to Ukraine. Well, they're busy spying on Americans. How could America's intelligence community have known sooner when they're so busy listening to you talk to your girlfriend, right, and what you're ordering for dinner? What else could Mr. Clapper do but spy on innocent Americans? Oh, Feinstein has something to say. She's been awfully quiet. I guess she can't make any money on this war yet. She hasn't figured out how to sell, like, shopping carts to the Ukraine. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
We are playing German music in honor of Hillary Clinton, comparing Putin to Hitler. And then saying three sentences later that we should de-escalate the rhetoric. She's really qualified for this position, isn't she? Meanwhile, Russia has threatened to seize U.S. assets. Yesterday, Obama and the others said that they would seize Russian assets and this and that. So today, Russian lawmakers responded. And they're drafting a law that will allow Russia to confiscate assets belonging to U.S. and European companies if it faces sanctions. They said that the bill would offer the president of Russia and government opportunities to defend our sovereignty from threats, according to state news agency RA Novosti. The tit-for-tat threats are the latest in a war of words over Russia's military intervention in Ukraine's southern Crimea region. Let's see. French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius warned on Twitter that possible sanctions will be on the agenda, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Where's the Maginot line? What do they have in the Maginot line now? Like, what do they put in there? Like, guest houses? What do they turn the Maginot line in France? Like, stay in the Maginot line and see the real France? No, I don't know what they turned the Maginot line in. I mean, it was leaky down there. The last I saw a documentary on it, but they could turn it into quite a guest house. Visit the Maginot line. 1 foot in Germany, 1 foot in France. I guess you could have French cuisine and German efficiency down there. That'd be fun. Okay, so here it goes, back and forth. During his visit to Kiev, Kerry announced U.S. will give Ukraine's government $1 billion loan guarantee. Where's the money coming from? Where's the $1 billion coming from? Why doesn't Soros give it up, since he probably made that over the weekend? That's like a weekend's earning for him. All right, 855-407-282 is the phone number. I got a question out there. You got the answers out there. Let's play a little sound that we have, Neil. You did some hard work. You want to play the Chang job? Yeah, I got to play Changaroo.
In the middle of 2012, they seized Scarborough Shoal from the Philippines, and despite our mutual defense treaty with Manila, we did nothing. And so what we are seeing is both China and Russia, two big authoritarian states, both territorially aggressive, acting up at the same time, which means you'll see Iran and North Korea and their rogue allies also do the same thing. Because we see instability going from one region to the other. And just when we show weakness, as we did in the last administration and this one, you have the bad guys acting up.
Very nice, Neil. Keep it coming. Keep the Hofbrau music coming along here. Yeah. How's your lederhosen today? Is Hillary kaput with her remarks comparing Putin to Hitler? Or has she grown in status as a result of her showing she's as tough as the guys? She's one of the guys. She can just roll up her sleeves and bat you with a rolling pin.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. God, what a day. Hillary Clinton compares Putin to Hitler. And then in the same speech, she says nobody wants to up the rhetoric. She hopes there's a negotiation. Now, how does that help negotiations to call Putin Hitler? How? She says everybody wants to cool in order to find a diplomatic solution, and that's what we should be trying to do. I believe that if we had a real Republican Party, this would disqualify her forever because they would requote this in any debate with any Republican. They'd say, you compared Putin to Hitler at the time when we were all trying to cool things down. How does that make you qualified to be president? Aren't you too hot-headed, Mrs. Clinton, to be president? And watch her explode. Aren't you too hot-headed to be president, Mrs. Clinton? That's all you have to say. Watch her go off like a cuckoo clock. Like a cuckoo clock. That's all. What can you say about it? Iranian general says Obama's threats are the joke of the year. President Barack Obama is a low IQ U.S. president, quote, whose threat to launch a military offensive should nuclear talks fail is an off-sided punchline in the Islamic Republic, particularly among children, an Iranian general said on Tuesday. They're all laughing at us. It's like Todd Browning's Freaks now. It's like they're laughing. They're laughing. That's for you film buffs. It's like Todd Browning's Freaks, like they're crawling in the mud now, for those of you who know movies. The whole thing is a charade. Unbelievable. Meanwhile, our stock market's doing good. Everyone's making money. I wonder how much George Soros made or lost during this crisis. As you well know, he's a patriot who loves America, so he must have invested in American companies. Now, we read last week that he sold $1.2 billion short in his own fund. He short sold a basket of European currencies. And since the market went down after the incursion into the Crimea River. I'll Crimea a river over you. I'm not going to laugh at it all. I feel that it's a time to sit here and you take it very seriously and enjoy myself. It's that simple. If you care to comment on the war in Ukraine, We can't say the Ukraine or the Crimea. The proper thing is to say Ukraine or Crimea. I can say America. Can't say the. You don't say the America. You don't say the Texas. We don't say the Mexico. We say Mexico. We say America. Has anyone gone to the Mexico recently? Anyone going to the New York? See, that's the same thing saying the Ukraine. Which politician said the Ukraine or the Crimea? Wait, about Frankenstein, McCain has probably said it. I don't know how this man could get around so often. He's on every channel at the same time. This guy is on CNN, then on Fox, then on MSNBC. Doesn't he do anything for a living other than appear on television? And by the way, where is his daughter now that we don't need her? She was popular for 15 minutes. The daughter, McCain. She was as popular as Alec Baldwin's daughter was an actress for 15 minutes. She was as popular as Sean Penn's daughter was as a model. I mean, don't these girls have any shame? My God, they could stay home and make cookies or become a lawyer or something. Why do they have to become models and show their behinds on Instagram? I don't understand that. If they had a father, they would say, daughter, listen, I don't care what you do, but you don't have to show your butt to the world on Instagram to make a living. Who lets their daughter do that? Would you do that if you had a daughter? Independent women could show their behinds on Instagram, right? That's the mark of an independent woman, to wear a jogging suit and show their behinds on Instagram. Sean Penn's daughter does a selfie of her behind. The whole world's upside down. Is there no adults in charge? By the way, the dog had an accident in the hallway of the radio station. I am so sorry. Thank God it was not in the studio. I would have been out of here. I would have canceled a show for the day. I have certain phobias. One of them is I can't stand certain things. If that dog had done that in here, what he did out in the hall, there'd be no show right now. Thank God one of the women in the traffic department took him for a walk in the streets. Okay, bring him in. Ooh, you disgusting thing, you. Teddy's here. Yay. You disgusting thing, you. Okay, that's enough with the Lederhosen music already. Did he do his thing down there? Oh, please, I'm on live radio. Come on. They don't want to hear this. Did he behave himself in the street?
Yes, he made his mark.
Did he meet a nice young poodle? Did he meet a young poodle out there? I only want a young gray poodle less than 10 pounds and younger than 9 years of age. From a good family. Oh, boy, what a world. It's the new world order. It's the new poodle order. Let's go to some of the callers. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Teddy. Nice to see you. Yeah, see, live radio can be fun. WABC, John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I want to commend you on keeping this focus on the self-serving, ignorant statements of Hillary Clinton.
Well, thank you. She says we want to cool the rhetoric and then calls him Hitler.
But you know what? We can't afford four more years of some absolute incompetent person, narcissist.
But here's my one line on the Clintons. We had them for 8 years. Is that not enough?
But, Michael, think about the war in Yugoslavia. When Clinton was trying to justify it, again, just showing ignorance, self-serving, the first thing that he said, we're going there because this is where World War I started and it could start again. The next day he got laughed off the newspapers. The second day he said it was going to destroy the economy of the world. The economists laughed him off the pages. And then his third gambit was, it was humanitarian.
It was Hitler again, right? The Serbs were Hitler. I get it. Now, by the way, they called the Serbs Hitler running a concentration camp. They themselves used the rhetoric at that time.
But her reckless comment and her major comment is that how she's constantly working hard for the women and children of the world. Somebody has just got to do an analysis. When she was running for senator in New York, I was living in New York City at the time, and she came out in the October, right before the election, and said that every decision that was made in the White House during the Clinton year she was involved in. Before that, she was denying.
Well, before you go on, let me just see if I can hazard a guess here. I take it you wouldn't vote for her if she was the candidate. I sense you don't like her. I sense you're not a Hillary fan. I sense that you've had enough of her.
But just take a look at women and children under the Clinton administration.
Oh, they've done very well. Look at the number of people on Instagram right now showing their behinds. That's an advancement for women.
How about Waco? How about the millions of Muslims?
Well, they weren't children. They were Christians. That's different.
Slaughtered in Rwanda.
That didn't count because it wasn't in the Daily News.
And not the AIDS. He was begged by the head of the International AIDS Federation to try to issue an executive order forcing the pharmaceutical companies to provide medication for AIDS victims. They didn't. Millions of people died. They'll say it to this day. And then her husband's behavior with Monica Lewinsky. That's.
Well, we don't even have to bring that up. Where is Monica Lewinsky? Is she making some kind of ties now or something? Does she have a tie company?
I don't know, but keep the focus on it.
No, but where is she today, that girl? She had 30 minutes of fame. She did very well. Then she opened some kind of rag shop in the garment center. I don't know. No, what is she doing today? I don't blame her. She had a shot. The guy was a dog. He couldn't control himself. You know, one thing you got to say for Obama, Carl, I know you don't like the Clintons. He doesn't engage in this kind of shenanigan, does he? He's gone already. Probably called from a nut house. You know, whenever you're engaged in a conversation on radio with someone, you think they're there and they're gone, it means the guard took them back. They put the quarter in and they were calling you from like... Right, a public phone, or some bigger guy beat them up and took the phone away from them. He's got billed to my station? I'm not paying for that guy. I take it he was not a fan of the Clintons. What would you like to talk about? Anything is fair game, including lunch, the dog, my parking spot, the traffic on the way into the studio. It was horrible traffic. I can't stand it. Like, you know, there's anarchy on the roads. Why are 16-wheelers in the left lane on streets now? Why is there no, like, trucks must keep to the right? Whatever happened to those rules? Where are the cops? Well, when I was young, right? Trucks had to keep to the right. Now they're in the left lane, the right lane. You can't go around them. You got to jump curbs. I'll never forget when my father, it goes back to the father thing again. I got to tell a father story. Just a shorty. He had a DeSoto. He used to deliver things from his antique store. And I was the delivery boy, went along. I learned an awful lot as a kid delivering things with my father. We always went to the rich houses. Rich, who knows what they were worth, you know. They bought the goods, so they were the rich ones, right? So one day we're making a delivery to the one half-man, half-woman in Long Beach, the one who worked in the Ringling Brothers. He was a freak in those days, they called him. I don't know if he was a half-man, half-woman, but that's where he made his buck. He had a nice house in Long Beach, out near Godfather, you know, first Godfather GF1. So we're driving on the Grand Central Parkway to deliver a statue. And a cop pulls my father over because you weren't allowed to have commercial traffic on the Grand Central Parkway. I didn't know what that meant. My father had a car, like, with a roof rack. No one has that anymore. I was always embarrassed when he would take me to school that he had a car with a roof rack. It was so unbelievably uncool. He had to make a living, so he had a roof rack. He bought cars that were big, like with big bumpers, you know, that kind of thing. Four-door. You have to have four-door for deliveries. God bless him. He had to make a living. So he had a roof rack on which he would put goods and wrap. He had certain blankets, moving men blankets. I love those. You know those padded moving men blankets? As a kid, I loved them because in the summer, we would lie down in, like, green fields next to daffodils and listen to waterfalls on them. We'd cover the goods with the moving blankets, and he would strap things up with rope. This guy could have gone out, like, over the Yukon Pass. He would, till he got through roping things down, it was 30 minutes later. Ropes over the top like a lasso. I thought he was Gene Autry. Little antique dealer would throw a line over the top of the DeSoto. I was so impressed. As a little kid, that line would go, shh, flying through the air. He'd go over the lanyard to the side, back and forth. Michael, is how you tie goods down. So we're on the Grand Central Parkway. Cop pulls us over, big state trooper at that time. I was frightened because they had guns which you could see the bullets in those days. You know, here's the thing. If you're a kid and you see a cop with a gun and bullets, the bullets to a kid are very real. A kid knows bullets kill. You know that? A kid looks at a gun with bullets from watching, like, cowboy movies. He knows that, right? Today, they've lost their power since everyone in New York has one. You see a bullet and a gun, it's nothing anymore. Everyone carries a gun in New York now. Except the police. I think they're going to be disarmed soon under de Blasio so that the criminals can have them and not the cops in order to make certain that there's no, you know, lower the crime wave. So as I say, gave him a ticket for driving on the thing. But today, wherever you turn, there's a 16-wheeler in the left lane, right lane. There's no rhyme or reason. It's like anarchy wherever you turn. Then we get out to the half-man, half-woman in Long Beach. I told you that story. Did you read it in the... You read it in my book about the half-man, half-woman. I don't want to bore you with it, but it's an interesting story. Because he was cursed with... I guess they call it gender identity disorder today. Today he'd be in the human rights... He'd probably be working at the NIH, probably the chief of research. But in those days he was considered a freak because he was half-man, half-woman. Who knows? He had a half a beardy shade and one breast. He did. And he'd sit in a cloak, and Ringling Brothers made a buck. So all of his spare money he would use, he would buy beautiful statues for my father because he was sort of freakish and felt like a Quasimodo inside. So he would buy beautiful statues. He'd buy the beautiful things, like artworks, right? So I remember we went into the guy's house. You couldn't get into the house because it was stacked from wall to wall like trucks on the highway. There was no order to how he displayed them. He just bought them to own them. You know what I'm saying? He was ugly inside, so he bought beautiful things, but he didn't display them properly. He just stacked them in his house. So we had to drag in this beautiful bronze statue through the door of the half-man, half-woman. And to this day, I remember it. I wish I'd bought some of those statues today. They might be worth, who knows what they're worth. Bronzes never went up in value. I don't know. People don't collect them anymore. In those days, the bourgeois used to collect the bronze statues from 1890s France. The Barbadienne bronzes, they were beautiful. I got a few from childhood. But the people would turn them into lamps. They would shine them up. They would take off the patina. I was the kid who took the patina off with cyanide. All right, I'm just trying to get your mind off the IRS scandal. I could care less about Lois Lane. It's like a Superman thing, this Lois Lerner. Lois Lerner, Lois Lane. Put her in jail already. The former IRS official takes the fifth at the House hearing. It's like the mafia. Obama's IRS is like the mafia taking the fifth. Put her in jail. That's all. Do to her what you would do to a criminal who's in contempt of court. And that's the end of the story. Throw Lois Lane in jail, and Superman won't be able to save her. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
When the President of the United States made the decision to bomb, to attack Syria, and then went back on it, that sent a signal all over the world. And I guarantee you now, very soon, you will see the Chinese acting much more aggressively in the South China Sea as regards to the Senkaku's Islands.
That goes with the Hunan food. And the accident Teddy just had in the hole. You know, Teddy's accident in the hallway made more sense to me than what McCain just said. It's unbelievable to me. I mean, I don't mean to be vulgar here, but this guy, how many years has he been senator? Since Kefauver. I think since the Kefauver hearings in 1954, he's been senator. Where has this guy come from? Don't they ever retire? Doesn't his wife need him at home? Whenever you hear a guy in the corporate world saying he wants to spend more time with his family, you know he just got fired. May I speak to Mr. Smith? He just stepped out. Where are they all stepping to? I stepped out. He just stepped out. Where'd he step to? Let's take a caller. Jeff on WABC, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? Got a question for you. If you think we're going to go to war, why would they be cutting the military? And one other thing, where are you from?
You mean ancestrally, or where I was born, or where I live now, or?
No, what city were you born in?
Why? What is this, like a horoscope?
No, because you were saying they don't say the Mexico, but you were.
Oh, well, I was born in Manhattan, actually. I'm one of the original Manhattanos.
Okay, I thought you were from the Bronx.
No. I was unfortunately moved there at age 4. I was exiled to the Ukraine. The Bronx is like the Ukraine. Like, all I remember is cemeteries in the Grand Concourse. That's all I remember. Now, I was born in Manhattan on 2nd Avenue and 17th Street. I think it's a vegetable stand today run by nice Korean people.
Do you like Staten
Island? I once got beaten up there, yes. It was always thuggish, Staten Island. I remember taking a ferry over there, like, in 1965. It was just filled with, like, thuggish people. It's changed a great deal today. It's filled with Islamists now and pizzerias.
The pizzerias are starting to go downhill.
I know. You got a new influx now. Very nice. From one thing to the other. The world changes, the world stays the same. The world changes, the world stays the same. The Verrazano Narrows Bridge. The bridge to nowhere. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. And if you're still listening, you're a smart person. All the breaking news when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, SAVAGE.
It is none other than the Savage Nation. Of course, the issue is Ukraine, Hillary Clinton's gaffe, calling Putin Hitler while saying we need to cool the rhetoric. Unbelievable, right? So we know what to expect from her. She's hot-headed. And dangerous in high-powered positions. Look what she did in Benghazi, not the Benghazi. Look what she did in the Benghazi. What would you like to talk about? WMAL in the heart of the monster, Washington, D.C., on a great station, by the way. For years, I functioned in that market on, like, marginal stations that nobody listened to. It was like a crystal set, the station I was on. Like a homemade radio. That's where a wall banger is now. He's on a homemade radio station. He's got a crystal set and a coil of wire. Slavko on WMAL, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael, I want to say, first of all, I enjoy listening to your program because you know your history and you use historical arguments to prove points. So let me turn to Hillary. I think Hillary is totally wrong to compare Putin to Hitler. It's obviously she doesn't know her history. A much more appropriate or valid historical analogy would be to compare Putin and Stalin.
How so? I want to listen to you because you obviously know better than I what you're talking about in this case.
Here's the reason. Both Putin and Stalin were trying to preserve an artificial empire by using any means. So, you know, in the 1930s, during the collectivization attempt, in 1932, in the middle of the collectivization of the Ukrainian agriculture, which was, you know, the bread basket.
Yes, the equivalent of Obamacare.
Yeah, right.
What Obama's trying to do to health care, Stalin did to the agricultural world. Agriculture in Ukraine.
Right. There was a strong resistance. The peasants did not want to join the collectives.
And any more than doctors want to join Obama's collective. It's a direct, and by the way, the comparability is strong here.
Yeah. So Kaganovich, who was Stalin's point man in Ukraine, reported to Stalin, if we don't do something drastic, we're going to lose Ukraine, and Soviet Union will fall apart.
Okay, so then they turned them into the, they started to demonize the farmers, called them kulaks, and arrested many and put them into the gulag. Isn't that correct?
And in a period of 32, 33, God knows how many people were starved or murdered to death. 4, 6, maybe as many as 10 million people. We'll never know because the statistics were falsified.
And people should understand what you're talking about. The equivalent of the population of a major American city was killed or starved to death by Stalin in his attempts to collectivize agriculture in Ukraine.
Exactly. And this is, in Ukrainian, it's called the Holodomor, the genocide famine of Ukraine. Okay?
It's important that people understand why Ukrainians so distrust Putin and the Soviets, and now Russia.
Exactly. So, now let's jump to Putin in 2014. He is in the same position as Stalin was in 1932 and 33. He knows that Putin, and he is bent on recreating the Soviet Russian Imperial Empire. He knows he cannot do it. I mean, his already, as we speak, he is seating his provocateurs in eastern Ukraine and southern Ukraine to provoke something. And
well, with Hillary Clinton calling him Hitler, he's got help there too.
Yeah, but I like I said, she's mistaken. She should be comparing him to Stalin, you know. Anyway, but let me I'm glad you agree on this. I want
to... Let me go back to what you're saying, because I agree to a certain extent, Slavko, and I'm sure it's more emotionally charged for you than for me. Apparently, you fled the ex-Soviet Union, am I correct?
Yes, very young, yeah, after the war.
Okay, so you have real deep roots and familial tragedy related to this region, and I don't have any direct familial tragedy related to the region. I have ancestral tragedy related to the region, and that's about all. But it's a distant memory to me. It's not real, as real to you as it is to you. We keep hearing that Putin wants to rebuild the ex-Soviet empire. That we all agree on that, correct? That's what he wants to do.
That's his ultimate goal, yeah.
But there's a part of me as an American that wishes we had a nationalist president in America who wanted to rebuild America and protect and preserve our borders, language, and culture. That is the conundrum here, and that's why so many conservatives, including myself, have a sort of distant admiration for Putin the man rather than Putin the politician. I'm trying to tell you what the emotional zeitgeist is of this situation, because people are saying, why are so many American conservatives somewhat admiring of Putin? It's not so much that we want to see him steal land from Ukraine, as much as we see a man who has pride in his own history and his own nation. We don't have that in America. We have the opposite here.
I agree with you. With our president is literally trying to dismantle our...
That's what I'm saying. It's almost the opposite of what Putin is doing is what Obama's doing. This man is dissembling America. Well, Slavko, you know, what we just talked about is of the utmost importance to me, because many people are confused as to what my position might be. I have not taken the position that Putin has the right to seize Ukraine, because it's irrelevant what I think. It's irrelevant what I think because he has the power right now, and he's going to do what he wants to do. You have to agree that there's no one to oppose him.
Yes, in effect, he's taking a chunk of Ukraine, and our president said there will be costs. I'm still waiting to hear what the costs are.
Well, it was today. Obama gave a speech about the minimum wage. That was the cost. That's the leadership, and Hillary went out there like Miss Macho and called him Hitler. I don't think there are going to be military costs. We have a government that's just deballed the military. So, Slavko, thank you for being such a loyal listener and so intelligent and so historically knowledgeable. 855-400-7282. Let's go to WABC in New York City. Ray, on WABC, thank you so much for calling the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Okay, just to make you smile, it is not a fruit stand where you were born. It's Beth Israel Hospital.
I know, I'm kidding. I was there 2 years ago. I did a trip. You're in the hospital right now?
Yes, oh, big. Mount Sinai took over a conglomerate over there. Very big.
I was there 2 years ago with my family because my son had never seen any of this. And I said, well, you got to go see where my father's store was. It's now a fancy nightclub. You know, all the bodegas have become nightclubs. the slummy streets of New York City obviously are not slummy streets in New York City. So I said, let's walk uptown past the hospital I was born in. And I knew it was there. I was just joking that it was a North Korean fruit stand.
Door to the gypsies.
What gypsies?
Look at the gypsies.
Where are the gypsies? I like gypsies.
What?
I like gypsies. I never met a gypsy I didn't like. Where are gypsies?
Children, not to stare at them.
Wait. You threw me off. What gypsies?
Your father's store was next door on, it was either Ludlow.
Yeah, Ludlow Street, but there were no gypsies there that I know of.
Store, yes.
If there had been gypsies near my father's store, I would have run off with them.
No, you spoke about that many years ago.
No, there were no gypsies. There was a funeral parlor next door.
Remember the funeral parlor?
Nyberg's funeral parlor. That's where I learned how to drive Cadillac limousines with half-inch clearances. It was like a Godfather elevator. There was no clearance. They gave me the keys at age 9 to drive limos and hearses. I would drive hearses and with stiffs down into that elevator. Oh, those guys were great. I'll never forget going down in the basement and seeing my first embalming. It was so shocking. Remember the first embalming story?
Many times.
You saw embalmings down there? You were there too?
I was there. I went to Seward Park High School.
Oh, now little Meshuggah now. All right. Thank you for the call. I don't remember a woman being there during the embalming. But it's a big world. It takes a village. It's 43 minutes after the hour, and I am not Larry King. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're trying to put a little lightness to the being of Ukraine. Very difficult because there's a land grab going on both sides here. Of course, Vladimir Putin is trying to grab land. And of course, the EU, Soros, Obama are trying to grab land as well. What they're both engaging in a land grab here. I mean, let's be clear. Hillary Clinton said that he's like Hitler. Caller said he's like Stalin. Well, both analogies could be made. You can stretch analogies to make them work. Yes, you can say that there were German-speaking peoples in northern Czechoslovakia, and that from Hitler's perspective, when he seized that region of Czechoslovakia, the Germans cheered him because they felt that they had been disenfranchised from Germany. And by the way, he did so without firing many weapons, incidentally. That's before he became the total genocidal maniac. Nevertheless, having said that, there is a land grab going on over Ukraine right now because of not only the oil pipelines, which everyone knows about, we've all seen that, but that's 2 days old already. No one's gone to the next level, which is the underground resources in western Ukraine in particular, of shale, which is being broken and fracked, in other words, fractured, and converted into a fissible fuel substance, oil, gas, etc. And so, therefore, you've got a rush on right now. It's like a gold rush. It's a shale rush going on worldwide. We have one going on in America. We have a shale rush. Incidentally, I can tell you all about that. I want to do a whole show on the shale rush here in America because I've been studying the Gulf of Mexico, Texas, Louisiana, and what's coming down there in terms of shale facilities for converting shale from as far away as Vermont into fissible fuels. And what's going to come down there? I mean, they're going to have a boom down there. Forget about shrimp. It's not shrimp boats are coming. It's the petrol boats are coming. Because after they convert that shale into oil or gas, it's going to be shipped all over the world out of the Texas Gulf, the Louisiana Gulf. That area is going to boom. Going to boom. So, you talk about the future. That's the future in America. It's the future in Europe. It's the future in the world. No matter what the environmentalists say, no one's going to listen to them because the world runs on gas and oil. It's nice to have a clean environment. I've worked for the environment for many years. I love a clean environment. I'm very aware of all of the issues. And I've worked very hard to preserve rainforests and such, so I'm aware of it. It's not like I'm stepping on that and saying it's nothing. I'm just telling you that the money is so great with regard to this shale, the conversion of shale, if that's what's going on in Europe as well. So you got two sides vying for Ukraine right now. They're like a football being torn back and forth by two players on the field. They're not even the player. They're the football, incidentally. They're the football. You can hear all you want about the people, and no one's like, oh, that's wonderful, but no one cares about them. Do you think Hillary cares about the people, Kerry cares about the people, Obama cares about the people? No, they don't. Stop already with the nut job. WABC, Scott, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. You know, there's a lot of serious subjects, but, you know, you triggered something when you made that hysterical comment about the Manhattoes, and the caller said something about Staten Island. You know, when I was a kid, a rite of passage for a New Jersey teenager was to cross the Goethals Bridge and go to Staten Island and drink in the dive bars over there.
And get beaten up by the thugs.
You know, I did outrun a couple of them a few times, and I could tell you a hysterical story. Coming from Staten Island one night, we were being chased by some thugs, and my brother, who was the Marines, was supposed to be at my aunt and uncle's house with a bunch of his buddies hanging out. And we thought, oh, let's lead these guys to this party, and we'll run up there, and we'll get these six Marines down, and we'll beat the
mortadella out of them.
Yeah, and, you know, we got there, and they had all left. And the only people who were there was my father and my uncle. And, you know, and then we had this car full of thugs who showed up at the, you know, showed up at...
Oh, come on, those days are crazy. But no one shot each other in those days. I remember my friend got a brand new 1959 Plymouth Fury. His father bought it for him. It was 1959, and it was the push-button steering that Chrysler had at the time, an auto transmission with push buttons, and the Fury was a pretty fast car. Well, I remember being chased all over Queens and halfway Brooklyn by a crowd full of thugs with bats in their car over the fact that we had a nicer car that people would curse, but no one pulled out a gun and shot you.
No, not at all. I mean,
it was nice. They just broke your windshield, the tires. That's all. Nice guys.
Yeah.
Those were the good old days, racing around New York in a Plymouth Fury. The days have changed now. So the Ukraine thing, you have a quick statement to make about Putin and Obama. What is it, Scott?
Well, you know, I watched Putin was on TV last night, was being interviewed by some reporters from Europe. And it was kind of interesting because I turned it on and I've never really seen the guy speak in depth. I've only seen, you know, sound bites on American news. And I watched him speak for quite a while. And it was funny because I found myself thinking that, or listening to him. And I said, what are you watching this for? And I said, well, because I want to know what this guy has to say. And I thought to myself, at one point, I said, you know what? I'm watching this guy talk for maybe 20, 25 minutes, and I can't watch Obama speak for 25 seconds.
Well, I look at Obama, I see a complete and total fraud, an empty suit. I see it. By the way, not only do I lately see an empty suit, I see demonic eyes. He's starting to look crazy to me.
I mean, you know...
I'm trying to explain why some Americans are actually enchanted by Putin. They're wishing we had a nationalist leader here who wanted to restore America's dignity. In plain English, we wish there was an American Putin who spoke for American interests. Borders, language, culture. Borders, language, culture. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America. This is
Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage. Either they're crazy, super crazy, or totally insane. Most people who are legitimate and sane don't go into politics.
On Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Where?
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So, the big news today is that Helen Hillary Clinton, has compared our worst enemy to Hitler. She says nobody wants to up the rhetoric. Everybody's hoping there'll be a negotiation. And that nobody wants to up the rhetoric. Everybody wants to cool it in order to find a diplomatic solution. And that's what we should be trying to do. And then in the next breath, she compares Putin to Hitler. So she has nullified her own candidacy for presidency, which she did, by the way, a long time ago, in the opinion of millions of people. Women don't like her, incidentally. See, she doesn't understand that most women don't like her. This is something that Democrat women don't quite get, that even Democrat women don't like Hillary Clinton, that they'd rather vote for a Republican than Hillary Clinton. They don't like her. They've seen her for 8 years. They don't want her. And the fact of the matter is what she did today, well, I think, I could be wrong, by what she did today, she showed her lack of judgment with regard to a very dangerous world situation. We could comment on that, which we've been doing. We can comment on Ukraine. We can comment on Benghazi. We can comment on Obama. We can comment on any of the topics of the day, any news topics. Phone number is 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Let's go to the callers. KDKA, Nick, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage, longtime listener, first-time caller. Actually, the first time I've been inspired to call into any radio program.
And what motivates that call?
And what motivates the call is the fact that looking further down the road, and as somebody that's had a habit of being right when he doesn't want to be, for the few members of my generation, I'll be forward and tell you I'm 32 years old, there's a real chance that if what's going on in Ukraine and what's going on in Russia turns into a quote-unquote hot war, you look at what's left of the U.S. military in terms of resources and you look at it in terms of morale, there is a real chance that we might see in this country another draft. And it's something I just wanted to bring into the form of debate on account of the fact that
The morale is at an all-time low. The morale in the military is at the lowest level it's been in American history. It's never been this low in modern American history because Obama has not only encouraged the officer corps has quit. He decapitated many of the generals who might have been real combat generals. And he has a bunch of yes men and yes women left. And anyone who's left is afraid they're going to be accused of rape under this psychotic administration. So that's a fact of reality. Then on top of it all, we have a standing army of about 500,000 men, the last I checked. Russia has a standing army of 945,000 men. And yet a week ago, Obama, a week ago, said he wants to cut the military to a level not seen since World War II, or before World War II, and cut the Navy to a level not seen since World War I. That's the leadership we have.
That's exactly right. And like I said, I mean, I look around and, I mean, the reason I tune into your program, and like I said, I listen to you while I write code. I'm a programmer. I'm an IT guy. And you're my voice of sanity in an increasingly insane world. And I try to have these discussions with people that are my age. And on the rare chance you run into somebody that actually has something that might be mistaken for a clue, under the age of 40, they go, well, how does that affect me? I go, well, the reality of the situation is that you're going to get one of these days, we're all going to get one-way bus tokens to the nearest Army depot in the mail. I said, if you don't believe it could happen.
Well, I don't know. Anything could happen, but I kind of doubt it because this is an anti-military administration. Where are they going to suddenly increase the draft? How? How would they do that?
How would they do that? And the thing that frightens...
They've taken the military bases and sold them off to cronies at a dollar on the million. Like in the Presidio, they've given away to friends who built restaurants on them. Where are they even going to put the men that they might conscript into the military? They've eliminated the bases all over the country. Where would we put American military men and women?
That's just it. I mean, if you look at what...
Well, maybe they could buy it back from some of the senator's friends here in San Francisco. Maybe they could buy it back at $100 on the dollar.
Exactly.
Maybe they can close the restaurants that they opened up and buy them back. I mean, this is the most corrupt administration in American history, and it's also the most backward thinking.
It's the most backward thinking, and it's got in my eyes, it's got the absolute, it's got no leverage in terms of intellect, in terms of political capital, or in terms of morale. You know, once again, go back to the military that's been largely eviscerated by this administration.
Well, I don't think we're going to see a draft, a resurgence of the draft, but anything is possible under this individual that we call the president.
Just looking in the direction that it's going, and I said, God forbid that you see, you know, an action over there or something that our administration or what we like to call administration here, you know, will paint themselves intellectually into a corner.
But he has painted himself into a corner. He's the bull of the military, so the military can't react. The only options he has are nuclear weapons. Do you think Obama's going to authorize the use of nuclear weapons against Russian forces in Crimea?
No chance.
No chance. Do you think Obama would authorize the use of nuclear weapons? God forbid there's an incursion into eastern Ukraine? No chance.
Zero, no.
And Putin knows that. He's played the chess game already. You're a programmer. This is a baby program. Anyone can run this program and see how it ends.
That's exactly right. So I'm just looking through what I call the logic gates. And, you know, you have your if statements and your then statements. I said, if Putin does, there is very little that Obama militaristically or force-wise can do. I mean, NATO has been made almost irrelevant. The UN has been made almost irrelevant overnight by this action. It looks almost like a small business. The United States administration looks like a small business that's reacting to a Fortune 500 company. Going,
wow, that's an interesting analogy. A mom-and-pa business facing a Fortune 500 company.
It looks like a little teeny mom-and-pop store, which I was...
Well, so Obama now can create his private civilian national security force and send them over to Ukraine. And he can get the gangbangers off the streets. They know how to use AK-47s. They're already trained. The weapons are waiting for them over there.
What I'm thinking of is in terms of just, and I guess maybe it's just intellectual theater of the mind, or it's interesting theater of the mind, and maybe I've just been writing code for a little bit too long today, but I said, my God, I said, imagine, I remember my parents telling me stories, and again, being from New York, you know, we had a lot of friends that lived in Brooklyn that you know, they'd gotten their bus tokens and they'd been drafted. They said, I'm just thinking how the baby boomer cult of the child would react to the notion.
Can you imagine if America ever announced that there's going to be a draft?
Anarchy.
Do you realize they would go crazy and start to cry? Can you imagine them in basic training holding their iPhones?
Anarchy.
As they were told to crawl through a let's say, a puddle, and the girls started to cry because they took their iPhones away?
Generation apathy is not even what I'm with.
I don't understand these people. They hate guns. They hate authority, yet they respect authoritarianism. See that one? Catch that curveball? They hate authority, yet they love authoritarianism.
What makes no sense to me is I said half my generation, like I said, I think would be the, my God, you took my iPhone away, you know, tears in my beer kind of thing. The other half, like I said, my generation.
I think they would go mad if their iPhone was removed. Let's say they were drafted and they were told no iPhones, no personal devices allowed in the barracks. I think that they would all crack up.
It would be instantaneous anarchy in the streets. And once again, I always love to draw parallels because I I'm a big believer in the best drugs, the best music, and the best cars were all made prior to my birth.
Well, what are you talking about, Librium?
You know, I think the way, you know, my parents' generation, my parents weren't hippies, but if you look at the way that, you know, the whole Summer of Love, the hippie movement, it was peace, love, and it was almost that kind of, it was radical in some capacity, but it was largely a peaceful.
No, it wasn't. It was about ripping off your friend's girlfriend and calling yourself a peacenik. It was run by the worst people on the planet. There was never a summer of love. It was a summer of deceit. But we could spend a whole day on that one day, the whole summer of love. And what it yielded, the summer of love yielded what we have today. But nevertheless, let's not go into that. So your basic premise is that you're afraid that there could be a draft, an upcall all of a sudden.
I'm afraid of am I going to get my bus token? Am I afraid of that? No, I'm afraid of how my generation, and more frightening, I think, is the generation coming up maybe like 17, 18, 19 now would react, raised on a steady diet of mind-altering substances and a steady meeting.
Can you imagine children raised on Adderall for every emotional, as an emotional crutch? Children who have been drugged since 2 years of age, having to fight for their country?
Anarchy.
I don't know what would happen if you took them off drugs and you took them off their iPhones. I don't know. They have a nervous breakdown. So now that I've said that, is it any different than Russia?
You know, and
the answer is yes, it's very different than Russia. Because they have not had the affluence that we've had in this country for that long. And the children who went into the military generally came from poor families. They didn't have these excesses. Many of them are as hard as rocks. They're not about to bend over for a girl with an iPhone who screams that she's going to call the ACLU.
Exactly.
Thanks for the call. You realize what time it is? It's 16 minutes after the hour on the Savage Nation. We have time for one more quick call in this segment on the program. WMAL Arrest, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. It's great talking with you, longtime listener. It seems one factor that we're overlooking, if you would indulge me, you've talked about the 1994 accord where Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons and guarantee of its borders. What I'm afraid of is the message that's being sent out, because this administration has been so leaderless, is that for every other country for the next 20 to 30 years, for the next 200 years, you know, you're going to see Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, Poland, they're going to go after nuclear weapons because the message is loud and clear.
Yeah, that there's no one to protect them.
Yep.
There's no one to protect them. So you fear this will, you feel this will engender a new arms race, if nothing else.
Yes.
That's to tie a ribbon on your statement. It is 17 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Savage Nation. When we come back, we'll talk more about Ukraine, Russia, Hillary's comments, comparing Putin to Hitler, right here on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Strong, proud, and always conservative. The Savage Nation. Incidentally, here's a strange one. Russian President Vladimir Putin has been nominated for the 2014 Nobel Peace Prize. There's a record 278 candidates. I am not amongst them, including 47 organizations received nominations for the prize, according to the Dynamite Institute's director. You know, I laugh at the Nobel Peace Prize. I call it the Dynamite Prize. Isn't it ironic that all of this money was built upon murder, death, destruction, and blowing things up? The Nobel Peace Prize, right? Why not? Alfred Nobel invented dynamite. And look what we have as a result. And they gave Obama a Nobel Prize when he sneezed. He sneezed, he got a Nobel Prize for that. Anyway, we have a crisis in the Ukraine, right? And U.S. is going to support NATO, North Atlantic TART Organization. When is the last time NATO did anything militarily that I know of? Does NATO, can they fly a plane? I don't know if NATO can fly a plane. The last I saw, they bombed Serbia and they used American pilots. They repainted our airplanes with NATO markings, the last I checked. I think that they're busy taking human rights classes in NATO rather than how to drive a tank or fly a plane. Hillary Clinton compares Vladimir Putin's actions in Ukraine to Adolf Hitler's in Nazi Germany. Now, before I read her actual comments, I must ask you, do you think this is appropriate at a time like this? Before you answer it, think carefully. Does this take the tension away from the table or increase the tension? Does it make it more likely that there will be a shooting war or less likely that there will be a shooting war? Did she just aid world peace, which she claims to be in favor of, or did she just aid world war, which is more likely her M.O.? Long Beach, former Secretary of Hate Hillary Clinton on Tuesday compared recent actions by Russian President Vladimir Putin in the Ukraine to those implemented by Adolf Hitler in the late 30s. Putin's desire to protect minority Russians in Ukraine is reminiscent of Hitler's actions to protect ethnic Germans outside Germany, she said. The Russian leader has recently done so in the Ukraine peninsula of Crimea, which Clinton said is similar to what happened in Nazi Germany in the late 1930s. Hitler resettled tens of thousands of ethnic Germans who were living in parts of Europe to Nazi Germany. Now, if this sounds familiar, it's what Hitler did back in the 30s, said Hillary. All the Germans that were the ethnic Germans, the Germans by ancestry, who were in places like Czechoslovakia and Romania and other places, Hitler kept saying that they're not being treated right. I must go and protect my people. And that's what's gotten everybody so nervous. Here's the craziest thing she said, because it's so obviously correct, but it shouldn't have been said. That's the point. She said, Putin is a man who believes his mission is to restore Russian greatness. Duh. And I wish I had a president who thought it was his mission to restore American greatness. I would share that. What would you give for an American president who said it's my mission to restore American greatness? I'm closing the borders. I'm reinstituting English only as an official language. And we're going to talk about our culture. I think we would love that. So she takes a man who's doing that for his people and tries to make it a negative. So, if you care to comment on this, we'll have to play the cuckoo clock, I'm sure, throughout. They're ready for war again. I know that. I know they're getting ready for war. The military-industrial complex just lost Afghanistan, and you know they're not going to be put down for any too long of time. They've had it too good for the last 40 years. I mean, K Street, which circles Washington, has been working overtime letting contracts. It's that simple. I could ask you a question, and you can tell me no lies, and the question would be, as I said at the outset of the show, do you think this is going to improve Hillary's chances to be president by acting like she's a man, a tough guy, real macho? She claimed to be a woman of peace. Remember, it was always about the children and peace? Well, now she sounds like a warmonger. She could have said an intelligent thing about Putin without provoking him. Would you say this is provocative? Yes or no? Here's some good news for those of you out there looking for some good news. The Senate voted today to block Obama's civil rights nominee, that nasty, evil cop-hater. Was going to be put into the Justice Department's so-called Civil Rights Division. He was so awful. Debo P. Adebigili, who was a lawyer for the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, filed a legal brief arguing that former Black Panther cop killer Mumiu Abu-Shamal murder trial was tainted by racism. This is a major blow to Obama because, guess what? Even seven Democrats thought he was too extreme and voted with Republicans. In fact, Majority Leader Harry Hateful Reid couldn't even muster all of his own troops. Reid became furious when the Democrats crossed the aisle to vote with the Republicans and throw this bum out and keep him from polluting the Civil Rights Division. And Reid hinted that the Republicans opposed this man because they were racists. That's odd coming from Harry Reid in Nevada, isn't it? But in fact, the case of Mr. Adebigili was too much for even Democrats. And the Senate, thank God, locked Mr. Adebigili on a 52-47 vote with eight Demon Cats voting along with Republicans for the filibuster.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Did you hear yesterday's show? Did you hear the show before yesterday? Did you hear my show on Friday? You know this is about oil. It's about energy. You know this is about energy as much as it is about territory, but at the end of the day, it is about territory because it's the energy under the ground that we're talking about. So let me explain it succinctly for those of you who have your hats not on backwards but in three parts, those of you who wear the Revolutionary War hats and read children's books on the Founding Fathers. Let me explain it to you carefully. Right now, Putin is the gas company for Europe. He's the gas company. He sends the gas. So they're shaking in their boots right now in Brussels for fear that their pawn shops will go cold at any moment. Because, hey, look, it's a cold winter in Europe. If he turns the gas off, those pawn shops go dead. The customers will stay home putting on, you know, newspapers around their feet. So he has the control. He's got a monopoly on the gas into Europe, right? So now what's going on at the same time this is going on? Naturally, Europe doesn't like the monopoly that Putin controls. They have been busy working with Chevron and other oil companies to break up the shale in Poland, in Romania, in Lithuania, in the western Ukraine, and convert the shale into LNG, liquid natural gas. Now, if they do that, they break Putin's monopoly. Do you understand that? In a way, it's a trade war. Putin wants to hold on to his monopoly because if Russia loses their dominance in supplying gas to Europe, he loses probably all of his power. He will not only lose the Soviet Empire, he will lose Russia. That's how serious this is. So for him, it's all or nothing. This is an all or nothing game for him. Irrespective of what you think is happening or should happen, you must understand that the revolution in the Ukraine was a violent coup d'etat that was calculated and pre-planned by the United States under the able hands of Victoria Nuland, Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs at the United States Department of State, according to many, many sources. There were other collaborators in this coup d'etat, including all of the nations that you may expect, the UK, the US, the EU, NATO. Some are saying MI6, CIA, US Department of State, CFR, DIA, NSA. It doesn't matter. Look at the pictures. Now, all you're seeing is the propaganda of Kerry somberly laying flowers at the makeshift memorial to the victims of the coup d'etat orchestrated by Obama's State Department. But if you bother looking at the actual photos of the Western-backed groups who showed up in Kiev's Maidan Square and who orchestrated this scheme to overthrow the legitimate Ukraine government, you will see firebombs, you will see pistols, You will see thugs. You will see revolutionaries. You will see Molotov cocktails. I don't understand how you don't understand this. I don't understand how you don't know what's going on. Would you, as Americans, accept a band, a gang, taking over public buildings, let's say, in a city, or let's pick any city. Let's not say Washington, D.C. Let's say, God forbid, New York City. What if a group of thugs, 10,000 thugs, showed up with Molotov cocktails and took over City Hall? Why? What would happen? What would you say? That's not a coup? Why, then somebody would go in and defend the city against those thugs. So you can't say that just because you hate Russia and because you don't know which side to take, that Putin is all wrong. On the other hand, you can't say that all the Ukrainians are thugs or Nazis. And as I say to you, it doesn't matter what we say. It's all hot air anyway. At the end of the day, this is just a conversation between powerless individuals called American citizens, which is good. At least we can still share our ideas, which I invite you to do. You may disagree with my analysis. That's fine. But you can't deny the fact of the matter that this was a duly elected president, whether you liked him or not, who was violently overthrown in a coup that was orchestrated by foreign powers. Now, what would you expect Putin to do? To just roll over? To take out a bicycle and go on a bicycle ride? To lick a snow cone and go surfing? He did what he had to do to protect his national interests. Now, Obama says things that are absolutely embarrassing, such as he must be looking at the wrong lawyer. I don't know what lawyers he's using. McCain comes up with more idiocy. Madeleine Albright pops up like the harridan that she is and says that Putin is living in a deranged world, that he's delusional when she's long been delusional, as you well know. And then John Kerry bends over with the flowers at the makeshift memorial, and it goes on. The propaganda, the agitprop goes on. What does Putin do despite Kerry's flowers? Well, what Putin did is what you could have expected. He test-fired an ICBM. It was a blank. It was a dummy warhead. But it successfully test-fired an ICBM they fired an RS-12M Topol missile from the southerly Astrakhan region near the Caspian Sea, and the dummy Russian warhead hit its target at a proving ground in Kazakhstan. The state-run news agency RIA cited Defense Ministry spokesman Igor Yegorov as saying, this is happening, this is in real time. This is in real time. This is in reaction to the straw man in the White House. This is in reaction to the straw man in the State Department. This is what happened. And you may say, well, nothing's going to come of it. I hope so. I said yesterday, I closed yesterday's show. I closed Friday's show with a prayer for the children of the Ukraine, the children of Crimea, the children of Russia. I said, let us pray to God that cooler heads prevail. Let us pray that adults do not get dragged into a war, because this is happening. Not could happen, it is happening. It's, if you watch this in slow motion, they're already at war, by the way. It's a subtle war. I analyzed Vladimir Putin's style of judo moves. Remember I said he did the hip throw? And the next is the leg sweep? Remember I told you that? Or the reverse? I don't remember anymore. Did anyone expect him to test an ICBM? Right away, the propaganda machine went into overdrive on Fox News. The leg crossers, the lipstick wearers, the empty skirts on Fox News who pretend to be conservatives. Well, it was long planned. They notified Obama a long time ago about the test. It was not a surprise. Immediately, they started with the propaganda machine, the empty skirts, running back and forth to the hairspray room, the green room. The green room girls came running back. It was no surprise to the commander-in-chief. So you have a man who rides a horse named Putin. Then you have a man who rides a bicycle with a girly helmet. And you see what's going on here. It's terrible. The New World Order is under the able hands of Barack Obama, the front man for the Council on Foreign Relations, which itself is a front group for the five sister companies, the oil companies, if you want to put it in such primitive terms. There are certainly other players, such as money changers, who have made another $1 billion over the last few days through all of this turmoil. Ask me how that's legal. Ask me how it's legal for a man to bet against the European stock market and to crash the economy by stirring up a war and make $1 billion over 3 days and not be rounded up by Interpol. Ask me how it's possible, because I don't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer for you. I don't know how it's possible to turn country against country just for profit. but it's not the first time it has happened, nor will it be the last time it has happened. It's the Savage Nation. There's a lot of emotion out there. People are calling the show with all sorts of statements to make. The phone number is 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. People are cracking up from this tension, but I'm still here. Old Uncle Mike is still here. Despite what I had last week, I'm sitting here in the hot seat. This is not easy for me. I'm trying to bring the best, let's say the best analysis I can give you to the situation without taking sides, but trying to explain to you that, for God's sakes, this is in Putin's sphere of interest, not in our sphere of interest. I made this comparison. What if there was a revolution in Mexico, for example, and Russia had orchestrated this revolution in Mexico? What would we say? They have no right to meddle in our sphere of influence? Of course we'd say that. Don't you remember the Cuban Missile Crisis? Even maybe younger, you read about it. In many ways, this is a little mini Cuban Missile Crisis going on right now. And thus far, we're losing. Now, the biggest shame in this entire affair are the neocons in the radio media. I'm not going to name names. You know who they are. You know I don't like them, and they don't like me. Let's be clear. But I am shocked that every one of them, down to the last man standing, is taking the side of Obama while attacking Obama and attacking Putin, because they're knee-jerk conservatives. They have no capacity for independent thinking. They have no capacity to understand what they're even talking about. Instead, they're going on autoplay, and they're reverting to Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan. What would Ronald Reagan do? And then they peddle you a children's book with a hat with three sides on it. How can you believe a word these people say to you? Don't you understand that this is the seminal moment in the media? This war in the Ukraine right now, this tension in the Ukraine right now, is the defining moment in the media. This is a fulcrum point. Reputations are being made and reputations are being lost in the last 3 days. And I'll let you decide who you will believe from here on in. Who has given you the most detailed analysis, whether you agree with me or not? Who has given you the best historical analysis, whether you agree with me or not? And who has reverted to these animal farm-like bleeding quotes of Ronald Reagan? And you decide, going forward, who to believe and who to listen to. It's just, to me, the seminal moment in talk radio. I don't believe people understand what's going on in terms of the history of the media right now. This is the turning point. I think people actually listening to what's going on, hearing what's going on, and discerning what's going on, and you're starting to tell, let's say, the wheat from the chaff, the boys from the men. We used to have a phrase in Queens College when I was an undergrad, when we went into courses that were really tough. They said, this course will set apart the boys from the men. And I'm telling you, this course of history right now is going to set apart the boys from the men in talk radio. That's what I see going on. And I have no intent to lean harm upon others, but I will tell you, I'm embarrassed to listen to some of them. I'm not telling you that I'm going to be here the rest of my life for two reasons. One, because I don't know if I want to be. And number two, I don't know how long the rest of my life is going to be. That's number two. I treat every show now as though it's my last show. Do you know that? I do it for a number of reasons which I cannot to share with you. It's not like I have a fatal illness, but I'm telling you how I see the days that we're living through. I treat every radio program as though it's my last, and I try to bring to it as much as I can without reverting to this Connie Barker, Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan, and then at the same time attacking. How can you both attack Obama and attack Putin at the same time? How can you do that and have any credibility the next day? And then wrap yourself in the Constitution. Here we are. What do you think? 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560. KSFO.
Again, the phone number is 855-400-7282. Iranian general says Obama's threats are the joke of the year. President Barack Obama is a low IQ U.S. president, quote, whose threat to launch a military offensive should nuclear talks fail is an off-sided punchline in the Islamic Republic, particularly among children, an Iranian general said on Tuesday. They're all laughing at us. It's like Todd Browning's Freaks now. They're laughing. They're laughing. That's for you film buffs. It's like Todd Browning's Freaks, like they're crawling in the mud now, for those of you who know movies. The whole thing is a charade. Unbelievable. Meanwhile, our stock market's doing good. Everyone's making money. I wonder how much George Soros made or lost during this crisis. As you well know, he's a patriot who loves America, so he must have invested in American companies now. We read last week that he sold $1.2 billion short in his own fund. He short-sold a basket of European currencies. And since the market went down after the incursion into the Crimea, Crimea River, I'll Crimea a river over you. I'm going to laugh at it all. I feel that it's a time to sit here and you take it very seriously and enjoy myself. It's that simple. If you get a comment on the war in Ukraine, we can't say the. We can't say the Ukraine or the Crimea. The proper thing is to say Ukraine or Crimea. I can say America. Can't say the. You don't say the America. You don't say the Texas. We don't say the Mexico. We say Mexico. We say America. Has anyone gone to the Mexico recently? Anyone going to the New York? See, that's the same thing saying the Ukraine. Which politician said the Ukraine or the Crimea? Wait, about Frankenstein, McCain has probably said it. I don't know how this man could get around so often. He's on every channel at the same time. This guy is on CNN, then on Fox, then on MSNBC. Doesn't he do anything for a living other than appear on television? 855-407-282. Well, we're coming to the end of hour number three for Wednesday, March 5th, 2014. Trouble in Ukraine might lead to trouble elsewhere, no question about it, with the weakness being shown from the White House. There is no question anything might happen. In fact, as we speak, America is calling for a more humble American foreign policy. You heard me. Today, in the midst of all of this madness, Obama promoted his vision of a more humble foreign policy during a fundraiser. War is going on. He's raising money for the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee. If you can believe it, well, that's what a community organizer does, fundraiser-in-chief. Meanwhile, pump up NATO, says Obama. Pump up NATO, says Obama. Well, that's good. It's a little too little, a little too late, right? China is testing a smog-busting drone. Clinton compared Putin to Hitler. Senate blocks Obama nominee who defended the cop killer. That's the best news of the day. I want that story. Did you hear that story? That's a big one. The Senate did something? The do-nothing Senate did something? Even the Democrats blocked the cop-hating appointee to the Civil Rights Division? Meanwhile, the DNC cannot name a single Hillary accomplishment. I can. Benghazi. Those are some of the stories. There are many others. Here's the sound you missed. Former Defense Secretary Robert Gates says U.S. risks being isolated. That's interesting. British Foreign Secretary William Hague says the talks are going on that will give a chance to work out the differences. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says the Obama administration is focusing on a few things regarding the situation in Ukraine. Meanwhile, Joint Chiefs Chairman Martin Dempsey, whoever he is, says he's been speaking with his NATO counterparts. That's some general for you. That's really a muscular general. Doesn't it make you feel good? Ukrainian PM says it's a puzzle why Russia took control of the Crimean Peninsula. Well, ask Putin. He may have a reason for you. I'm not going to talk about health care. That's something the others can do. And Barbara Bush, Lady Bush, says it's ridiculous that the GOP can't find someone other than Jeb for 2016. Well, I agree with Barbara Bush, but don't blame the GOP for that. Blame the cartel for that. The Bush cartel. The RNC hotel. Hotel, not hotel. Hotel 6. This is the Savage Nation. Be here if you know it.
Savage.